Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Katarina Graham from The Vampire Diaries, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hey, I'm Jasmine Guy. You may know me as Tatuba on Stardish Radio.
Hi, I'm Joe Manganiello, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Stardish Radio. Today is September 20th, 2010. I'm your host, Joanne. The call-in number here is 347-945-5423. Guests who are in the chat room, take a minute to go ahead and register with BTR. It only takes a minute, and yes, it's free. The only way you can participate in the chat is by registering. Get yourself a sign-in name, and you can hang out with everybody in the chat room. This week's episodes are listed on stardishradio.net. I want to make sure everybody knows about or comes back, especially to Thursday's show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The 23rd marks the 3,000th episode for the ABC's show, The View. And in celebration of that, we're having a special show in honor of that 3,000th episode, complete with giveaways, including two tickets to The View, which are good up to 1 year. Now, I don't know if any of you guys ever tried to get some tickets to some of these shows. I know for a fact that The View has a waiting list of over a year to obtain tickets. If not, you got to go stand by. And who wants to stand outside for a couple hours and then not get in? So tune in on the 23rd. For the special trivia contest we're going to have, there's going to be some book giveaways and especially the two tickets to go see The View. Everything else is listed on stardishradio.net, or you can find the fan page on Facebook as Stardish Radio. Excuse me. Tonight's guest, I'm very excited about. She is a budding fresh actress who's made her way through our TV screens via several guest spots on shows like Criminal Minds, Grey's Anatomy, and Heroes, but she has now hooked herself onto the CW's highly anticipated new Star Fall show, Nikita, which had more than 3 million viewers during its first episode. So if you'd all please give a warm Stardish welcome to the unbelievably striking Miss Tiffany Hines.
Hello.
Hi, Tiffany. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Fabulous. Thanks so much for spending some time with us tonight.
Yeah, of course.
Well, let's start with a little bit about you, Tiffany. Where you're from and when you knew you wanted to get into acting, that kind of stuff.
Originally, I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. I grew up there off and on. My dad actually... his job moved us away and then back again and then away and back again. So growing up, even though originally I was from Cincinnati, I lived a few other places. But I don't know. I guess my first first time I can remember ever wanting to do something in the performing arts, my mom, she was a school teacher, so... I was able to read by the time I was three, and she used to have these library trips that she would take me to. So when I was 3 years old, I remember I went down one aisle in the library, and I picked up this book on Russian ballet. And I remember picking up the book and looking at the pictures and just thinking, wow, that's so beautiful. And the pictures that these people were able to create with their bodies. So I think the first calling I had was definitely dance. And that's something that I did for a really long time growing up. And I've always been interested in any type of the performing arts, whether it was singing or dancing or acting. And originally it was more of a hobby to me. It wasn't something that growing up, like I actually – I mean, every child dreams, you know, of doing more than just a hobby. But at the time, like, my family was very driven academically. So I never looked at it as something that I could as part of my future.
Right.
And then as I grew up and I grew older, you know, it just started taking a larger and larger role in my life. And then about 6 years ago, I was approached by someone who thought that I would be a good actress. And I mean, at the time, I thought they were crazy, but I was I was interested in just kind of seeing where it would take me. And and they took a very big risk. I remember once I could calm my parents down, who were not so excited about the idea. I got my car and I rolled up my little futon in the back seat and my pots and pans, and I drove 3 days out to LA. And I remember I got there and I was not sure if I'd just done the smartest thing or the stupidest thing in my life, but yeah, I came out 6 years ago, took a risk, and yeah, so I'm glad I did.
What kind of odd jobs did you do while you were out there, while you were looking for work, doing auditions and stuff?
I was the worst waitress that ever waited tables in the history of waiting tables. I'm pretty sure that every single person that I've ever served is so grateful that I'm no longer waiting tables and that I'm on television now. But yeah, when I first got out, I got a job at Outback Steakhouse and I was slinging steaks for a living. So that's what I did. I did that for a little while and luckily I didn't do it for too long and then started working as an actress. So. Yeah.
That's great. That's like the typical Hollywood story. Pack your car up, go work as a waiter, waitress, and boom. Eventually,
yeah, you know, I mean, you always hear about people waiting tables. So I was like, oh, waiting tables, how hard can that be? But, yeah, it was a lot harder than I thought. But, definitely did it.
I bet you appreciate your waiters and waitresses big time.
Oh, yeah. I always try to take really great care of any server that ever waits on me because it wasn't that long ago that I was in their shoes, you know?
Oh, yeah. I know. Been there, done that, too. What would you be doing if you couldn't act? Like, you said your family was academically driven. Did you have something else besides the acting in mind?
Yeah, I mean, anything artistic, really. I just like to push myself artistically. I mean, I used to teach dance for a living, so I had a dance team that I had started in Cincinnati, Ohio, and we used to go out and compete in dance competitions, and I taught little kids ballet, so that was something that I really enjoyed, obviously, and I don't know, now that I'm in this field, I don't want to say that I'm going to be an actress forever. I'm an artistic person, you know. I like to express myself in all kinds of different creative ways. So I think, you know, I'd like to try my hand at producing at some point, maybe even directing. I want to push myself creatively as much as I can and just see where I can go.
Yeah, that's... Sounds great. Now, what was your first acting job in Hollywood? The one job that took you off those tables?
Yeah, it was actually my first job that I got was Beyond the Break. And that was the job that it actually was my first audition, which it's crazy how it happened. Now, granted, it took a process of months, and by the time I had booked it, I'd been on several other auditions that I hadn't booked. But, but yeah, just so it turns out, coincidence, that it was the first audition. And I remember when I first came to L.A., and I'd spent every penny I had to get there, and I went to my agent at the time, and she told me that I had to have headshots. And I was so green, so new to the whole thing. I had no idea what you really needed to do to be able to start your career, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what about those pictures that I show, those modeling pictures from back in Ohio, you know, aren't those going to work? And she told me, no, you have to go get headshots. And I asked her, well, how much are headshots? And then she told me this crazy exorbitant price that could have been her just saying $1 million, basically. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I went and just worked as hard as I could every day at my awful waitressing job where I wasn't making very much money. And over the course of 4 months, I finally had enough and went and got my pictures, and I took my pictures to her. I said, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to go on these auditions. And she said, okay, do you know how to surf? And I thought she was crazy. I said, well, I'm from Ohio, so no. You know, and
in Lake Erie.
Yeah, exactly. And then a girlfriend actually of mine who I was a waitress with me, it was right before the July 4th weekend, and she's like, oh, I'm going to Newport Beach. You should come with me. I'm a surfer. I'll teach you. So that's how it started, you know, and over the course of several months, I went through the auditioning process, and then I think it was like 3 months later, I was in my room, and she called, and she said, you know, this is your first audition, you know, obviously it would be crazy if you were to have booked it. You're very new, and to get as far as you got was amazing, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. She's like, I'm just messing with you. You booked it. And at that moment, I have to say that is one of – there's been two moments in my life. One of them was when I got the Nikita job, but when I got that first job, just the I felt like a little kid. I jumped up and down in my bed. I was screaming. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I got it, you know. So, yeah, it was one of my favorite memories of my time as an actress is that very first job that I got. And I was really blessed, you know. I got to go to Hawaii and film and – and I learned a lot. I learned a lot on my first job, just being around a lot of veterans and people that had been doing it for a while. And so, yeah, I was really blessed, and I will always be grateful for that first job.
That's fabulous. Now, tell me how the role of Nikita came to be for you, the role in Nikita as Jaden.
Yeah, well, the thing about it was, like, once you start making your way in Hollywood and you're working your way up and you're auditioning, there's a time of year that comes around that all actors know about, and it's called pilot season. And it's a time when all the networks, you know, they have all their potential shows, and there's a lot of auditions and a lot of roles at that time that you go out on and you audition on. And so I knew that pilot season was coming up and that I was really excited to get out and read for as many roles as I could. And to tell this story, I have to go back to my high school where back in high school, I don't know how I didn't know I was an actress. I started this club called Critics Club where we would watch movies at lunchtime, and then we would critique the movies and then have discussions about them. And so I don't know how I didn't know I was an actress, but yeah, you know, you'd think you know. But so I had done that, and one of the first movies that we showed was La Femme Nikita. So I remember seeing that film, and I remember loving that film. And so when this particular pilot fell into my lap and I saw that it was something that was what I would be auditioning for, I fell in love with the project immediately after reading the pilot. And those of you that have seen the pilot know that cliffhanger at the end, oh, my goodness. Like, I read that, and I was like, I have to have this role, you know. And I loved who Jaden was, too, because for me, as an actress, I always like to push myself artistically. Mm-hmm. And I've always played a role that is very similar to who I am as a person. And Jaden just had so many layers. I've never been able to play the bad girl, but then, you know, she's not just bad. As the season progresses, you'll see she also has this very vulnerable side to her. And so I loved that when I read the pilot and I saw that. And so I went through the audition process, and it was a long, long process. There was joy, there were tears, there was prayers, and then I finally was blessed with booking the role, and it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life is the process of when I was auditioning for her and when I finally booked the role.
Well, Jaden is an angry young girl, that is for sure. she is one mad girl. She was recruited 2 months before Alex, and Jaden, your character embraces the new life. You like the idea of being a spy, an assassin. And even though you guys, Alex and Jaden, have similar backgrounds, she's kind of stealing the show a little bit. And Jaden's getting a little pissed off.
Jaden? Oh, you mean Alex? Yeah, yeah. Jaden doesn't like that. You know, she's grown up in a way where she's had to fight her whole life for anything, and everything that she's ever wanted. So, you know, she has no problem getting in your face to defend her territory. And when she feels threatened, she'll definitely fight you for her space and for her territory. So, you know, but at the same time, you know, the thing about it that as you'll see as the show progresses, is that there are a lot of times in film and television, we think that, you know, oh, this is the good person and this is the bad person. And, you know, when you look at people in the world that actually exist, it's never that cut and dry. You know, there's never just somebody that's all good, and there's never somebody that's all bad. Like, a person that you may inherently see as good can go off and do something, bad things that are defined as bad things, you know, or somebody that's bad can surprise you and do something that's good. So I think we're all flawed in any sense of the word, you know. But at the end of the day, you just don't have the whole story of why someone is the way they are, or the reasons why they do the things they do. So I think what really drew me into Jaden is that, you know, she does give Alex a hard time. Obviously, if you guys saw the episode last week, she will fight for her territory. And you'll continue to see more of that. But, you know, what I'm excited about is once we actually start to dig deep down into her psyche and see why she is that way and understand why she is that way. And then you'll really get to know Jaden the way that I know her, which, you know, I'm really excited that you guys will be able to see, because she's pretty complex. You know, she's not, what you see is not what you necessarily get with her. And so I'm excited to share that with you guys for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more of her background story. She just seems to be just someone who is extremely troubled and doesn't like somebody standing in her way. She wants the attention on her, and I know there's a reason behind that, so I can't wait to start peeling back those layers.
Yeah, it's exciting to see how she, yeah. What makes her tick.
Yeah, well, okay, speaking of last week's scenes, that was a major fight scene that you guys had. How do you prepare for something like that? I mean, has anybody gotten hurt? Are you doing your own stunts?
We try to do as much of our own stunts as possible. We really want it to be authentic. We want it to be organic. But at the same time, you know, we want to be safe as well. You know, you hear horror stories about, you know, actors getting hurt. So there's a lot of preparation and rehearsing that goes into something like that. And it's intense, you know, because at the same time that you're rehearsing and filming these really intense emotional scenes, you're also at the same time, if you're not filming, then you're at a training facility and you're working with fight coordinators and stunt coordinators and your stunt doubles and then the other actor. And, you know, because we want to be safe, sometimes these rehearsals can go for just hours and hours and hours. You know, it's a choreographed routine that you have to know forwards and backwards, because one wrong move and someone can get hurt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that, you know, we work really hard at. I know Lindsay and I work, I mean, we'll go to rehearsals and we'll work together. And, like, we'll even go to each other's homes here in Toronto and work with each other. And during that day, we're doing other scenes, but then in between scenes, we're still working that routine, you know, because we do have stunt doubles. But I think something that goes across the board with all the actors on Nikita, we just want to bring you something really authentic and raw, and we want to do as much as we can ourselves. So, and Lindsay is just, oh my God, she's amazing. You know, she's always there if I want to run the routine, and And we're very aware that we don't want to hurt each other, but we still, you know, we'll do as much as we can to make it authentic and to make it as real for you guys as possible, which is, you know, it's exciting. You know, some days, I'm not going to lie, I'll wake up and it takes me 10 or 15 minutes to get moving.
Right.
Because I'm so sore from, you know, all the rehearsals. And then, you know, you may rehearse for like, you know, 4 hours the day before, and then you're practicing at home, and then the next day you shoot it, and you shoot it over and over again. So by that second day or third day, your muscles are just aching, you know. But at the end of the day, it's worth it, because then you see how the scene comes out, and you know that you gave it your all, you gave it 150%, and then, you know, hopefully you guys enjoy watching it as much as we did preparing and getting it ready for you.
Well, I'll tell you, it was so seamless that I would never even imagine that it was choreographed. I mean, that's the way that it comes off. I mean, to you know, a layperson's eye. There's no hint of a stunt double anywhere. You know, there's some movies that you watch now from, you know, 10 years ago, and it's like, that ain't Mel Gibson falling off that building. He ain't got that much hair. Are you kidding me? You know, you don't see stuff like that, you know, and it's really, really seamless the way that you girls do it, and I give you a lot of credit for that.
Thank you. It makes us feel so good to hear that, because we really do. We put so much effort into it, and we really work hard, because, you know, we do want you to be sucked into that reality, and, you know, we want you to enjoy what you're watching and really feel that you're a part of this amazing story. And so, so if that extra, those extra hours we spend, you know, and those extra hours of aching muscles, if it accomplishes that goal, then, you know, we're really happy that that's how it is. So.
Yeah. Well, now I heard that they were a little nervous about doing this because Nikita's been done in different ways. You know, Point of No Return and the TV series in 97, La Femme Nikita. They weren't sure if it was going to work, and it worked. Were you worried about that at all?
I was. I'm not going to lie. I was. Even though I told you about the fact that La Femme Nikita was one of my favorites of all time, like it literally, when I say my favorites, like I have five top films. And if you would have asked me years ago what my top five films were, this would have made the cut as one of those top five. So it was something that was very dear to my heart. And then the more research I did, once I found out they were going to redo it, the more, you know, I realized, okay, well, now there's The Point of No Return, there's La Femme Nikita, the series, and, you know, how are they going to make this a fresh take? How are they going to make this different without, like, beating a dead horse into the ground, basically?
Right.
And, you know, I read that first pilot, and that's what really did it for me, because I realized that, you know, they were going to keep the dark tone of the original, but that they were doing a new take on it. You know, they weren't just doing, okay, Nikita gets into trouble and now she's being trained to be an assassin. They're saying, okay, let's push this into the future where, you know, she's escaped from division and they've killed the man she loves and she wants to take them down, and she's going to basically go after this corrupt government agency. But then they still kept that core training to be assassin and putting it into a new generation, which is exciting because it is an older concept that a lot of adults are aware of. But now we've got this new generation that's growing up, and we're able to say, okay, For the older crowd, we've got Nikita and her future. But then for this new generation, we've got new kids that have been put into division that are being trained to be assassins. And we still, by following the Alex character, get to keep that part of it alive, but with a fresh take. And so I thought that was brilliant. I when I read that, I thought, wow, you know, that's a completely different take on it than any of the other ones have done. And you know, that's where you have to really give props to Craig Silverstein and the writers on the show. I mean, it's something that hasn't been done before. And when you're going in as the fourth time, you know, as Nikita, you want to do something that, you know, people haven't seen before. And that was something I was really excited that they were able to do.
Yeah, it's definitely a great take on it, and I love the way that they're unfolding Nikita's backstory with Alex. It's really, really good. I can't wait till they start peeling back the layers of the rest of the cast show how they got into it.
Yeah, I mean, we're really blessed with the writers that we have. They constantly keep you guessing. Obviously, you know, I don't want to give it away if somebody hasn't seen the pilot yet, but, you know, they in the beginning you may think, oh, you know, this is just like every other spy show, but they kind of go in a whole other direction that you're just not expecting, and those twists and those cliffhangers and the mm-hmm. they constantly keep you guessing. It's what drew me into the pilot to begin with, and I have to tell you, I'm getting scripts every single day, or not every day, but you know, every week, and I'm
right.
reading them, and that continues throughout this season. They you never know. You think you know what's going to happen, and then something else will happen, and you're like, wow, you know. So I really feel like we're blessed to have such a good team writing for us to be able to keep us guessing like that. And hopefully you get just as excited as when I read it when you watch it, you know.
Oh, yeah. What I love is that it's not predictable. You know,
when I
watched the first episode and you're going through the motions and the bank robbery and then it kind of unfolds to who that other person was, I was like, oh, didn't see that coming. Wait a minute.
It's very
unpredictable.
And I think unpredictability, you know, that's hard, especially when you think about how many times there's been spy shows or spy movies. You know, we've had, like, the Bourne series, we've had Alias, we've had the Femme Nikita series, we've had Point and Origin,
mm-hmm.
we've had all these different, you know, types of shows. So to be able to continue to surprise people, I think is harder to do now because so many different things have been done. So to be able to take someone by surprise, I'm really happy that we have the people that we have that are so brilliant that they're able to do that.
Sure, and I love the fact that it there's not really too many spoilers out on the internet, because the internet spoils everything. You know, they somehow, one way or another, people will find out, and they're like, oh, spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. I don't like reading them. I want to be surprised. I want to, you know, dig myself into the show. So I like the fact that there's not too many spoilers out there about this show, as some of them have crept up, you know, with the Vampire Diaries and different shows. So I'm happy being spoiler-free, people. Keep it away.
Yes, no spoilers.
Keep it away. Yeah, so you're following the right after the Vampire Diaries. That's a great time slot, too.
It is. It's real. I feel, I mean, God, I'm just blessed all around. You know what I mean? Vampire Diaries, I have to say, a year ago, before I even knew anything about Nikita, I had started watching, and it was one of my favorite shows. And I was a little apprehensive because I was already into the True Blood. I was on the True Blood bandwagon at that point.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, okay, CW, what do you have with Vampire Diaries, you know? But but they also have, I guess CW is really great at getting the good writers, you know? Like Vampire Diaries as well. They've got amazing writers, and they also are really good at the cliffhanger. So it's kind of cool to be in that time slot behind them because, you know, I want to watch our show, but it's cool. I get to watch theirs first, and then I get to watch ours.
Yeah, it's awesome that way. And the Vampire Diaries hold each vampire series are good in their own way. I was apprehensive about the Twilight things. I didn't read any of the books, but I saw the movies, and I liked them. Then when I was very into True Blood, still am, and I was like, okay, the same as you. It's just, this is more teenager, you know, late teens, 20s, I guess, for the Vampire Diaries, and True Blood is adult Vampire Diaries, and, you know,
right.
Twilight is fantasy, you know, way out there fantasy. I don't know, but they all have their own thing, and I'll tell you this, the truth of it is that youth are in that time slot, and after the Vampire Diaries were over, I used to turn the channel, because I was not into Smallville. I mean, you know, but that's something that, you know, okay, now I can sit and just continue to watch this channel for the rest of this Thursday.
Oh yeah, I'm glad. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good mashup. You know, it's lots of action and it's lots of fun on a Thursday night. So you can't go wrong for sure.
It's true. Now we were talking about movies. You said you have five top movies. What are they?
Oh, okay. Let's see. My top five movies are obviously La Femme Nikita. Let's see, Run Lola Run. I absolutely love that movie. City of God, Heat, and Rear Window. You can't go wrong with Hitchcock. I am a huge Hitchcock fan, so Rear Window.
Okay.
For sure.
Very good. Yeah, I'm just going to go outside the box here a little bit and get away from Nikita and just get a little bit more familiar with Tiffany the Girl. What is your best beauty secret?
Oh, wow. Let's see, my best beauty secret. Like makeup, you mean? Like,
What makes you feel, what's the one thing in your pocketbook, in your purse that you have to have at all times that makes you feel complete? You know, you can't leave the house without this.
Probably my eyeliner. I'm a huge fan. Like, I can, you know what, as long as I can do up my eyes, I don't have to have any other makeup on my face. I just like to play up my eyes a lot. So, probably my Stila black eyeliner. Yeah.
You have beautiful eyes, so you should play them up.
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah,
very good. What was the best piece of advice you received as far as acting goes, and who was it from?
Let's see. It was from fellow actress Tracy Toms, and she told me to enjoy the journey. Don't enjoy where I'm going, but to enjoy the process and the journey. And she was right, because sometimes I can be a little bit of a perfectionist,
mm-hmm.
and I, instead of enjoying where I am in my process and in my journey, I can think about, well, I'm not where I want to be, I want to be here, or I want to be there. And once I took that advice to heart and I learned to love the process, I really started to enjoy what I'm doing a lot more. And for any other aspiring actors, or if you're aspiring to do anything, really, for anyone else out there, like, it really, once you embrace that into your soul, and once you take that into your soul, and you live in the moment, and you live every day as if you're already where you want to be, then there's a joy that fills your heart that no one can take away. And sky's the limit once you're able to do that. So
yeah, you don't want to miss out on it.
Yeah.
You know, you do what you got to do to get there, but you want to see what you're doing in the process.
Yeah, and I mean, I've loved looking. I mean, I look back at my life now, and I realize that, you know, the good and things that at the time I thought were bad, you know, have led to so many beautiful things, you know, so many beautiful things have come out of the bad. At the time, I would be devastated, you know, if I didn't get this role or that role, but if I would have gotten this one role or if things worked out that way, then I wouldn't be where I am today, you know. So there's mm-hmm. always a reason why certain things happen, I feel. And so, you know, you have to embrace that journey as a whole. You have to see life in the bigger picture, and you have to embrace it and love it, because you know, that's what life is filled with joy, and life is filled with pain, and once you can embrace that and understand that, I think that you can really live in the moment and be grateful for every day that you're alive and every day that you're blessed to be feeling the feelings you're feeling and doing the things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. There is a reason for everything. Whenever you get a new job or your first job, I know going back moons ago, when I got my first paycheck, I couldn't wait to just go splurge on something for myself. What was the biggest splurge you did for yourself with your first paycheck as an actor?
Let's see. Probably, I'm a huge shoe fanatic. Like, huge. I mean, I put Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City to shame. So I remember looking in magazines and just looking at beautiful shoes that I couldn't afford, and I would even pull out pictures of them and put them up everywhere, and I would just look at them like, oh, I can't wait till one day I can mm-hmm. be able to afford something like that. So I'd have to say the very first thing that I bought were a pair of Jimmy Choo heels. And really the thing about it was, even though I had a big paycheck, I probably couldn't even really afford them. I'm pretty sure I ate ramen noodles for the next 3 weeks after I bought these shoes. But, but I mean, they were so beautiful, and I was so excited that I could afford them, and I went and bought them. And to this day, like, they're like my children. I keep all my other shoes, like, down in my, like, closet, and they're, like, set up above everything else in the top of my closet, just sitting pristinely and perfectly, and they're like, I just love them. But yeah, my Aww. First pair of Jimmy Choo slingback heels, I love them.
That's so cute. But now, are they as comfortable as people say they are, or uncomfortable?
Actually, well, I'm a heel girl, so I wear a lot of heels.
Okay.
And so for me, yeah, I think they're amazingly comfortable. I think so.
Okay. What is your favorite kind of music?
You know what? Music has had such a huge impact on my life. I can't pick one genre because, for me, it depends on my mood for the day.
Okay.
Depending on how I feel, I could turn on Mozart and listen to classical music, or I could listen to opera, or I could listen to Top 40, or, you know, then one second I could be listening to hardcore hip-hop, and then the very next song on my iPod could be Bruno Mars, you know what I mean?
So, okay.
You know, it's just a very eclectic taste in music. I can't pick just one genre that I love at all.
All right, well, let me ask you this then. If your life was a song, what song would it be?
Wow. That's a deep question.
Well, you think about that.
I got a feeling that tonight's going to be a good night. Maybe that one. Yeah, I'm going to go with that one.
Okay, very good. And my last oddball question would be, would you rather have the power to be invisible or the power to read minds?
Ooh, wow. I have never been asked that question. Because you had to come at me, because I am a huge, like, comic book geek. A lot of people don't mm-hmm. know that about me. I love comics, and I've always wanted to be a superhero deep down. That's, like, my one true wish. And I actually tweeted something not that long the other day that said, what superpowers would you want? Let's see. If I could be invisible, or if I could read minds?
Yeah.
So can I turn the invisibility on and off, or?
Oh, yeah, of
would
course.
I just,
used to your discretion. Sure.
And those are the only two, right? There's no other
yep.
superpowers you're offering on the table right now.
No.
Okay. Then I would have to go with invisibility, because reading minds, I think I watch True Blood, and I've
mm-hmm.
seen how that affects Sookie, and I
yes.
wouldn't want that for the world.
Yep.
Knowing what people are thinking about you when you don't want to know is probably not as great a power as you might think. Yeah, I would go with invisibility, because if I was invisible, then I could turn it on and off. If I wanted to be visible, I could. But if I
mm-hmm.
if I wanted to hear what people were saying, then I could turn it on. I could be invisible and see what they're saying. So yeah, I would go
mm-hmm.
with that.
Okay. Well, let me switch gears a little bit and talk to me a little bit about these two movies, Perfect Combination and The Dark Party. What's the story with these?
Yeah, Perfect Combination. I play a 25-year-old woman, so it's a little different than my Nikita role. And it's a comedy. It's a romantic comedy. So it's about a guy who's 30 and he's He's trying to find his true love before his 30th birthday because he really wants to be married. He really wants a serious relationship before he gets older. And I play one of the best friends that's there along for the ride. And it also stars Christian Keys and Angel Conwell and Kareem Grimes and Io Sorrells. And it's a really heartwarming little romantic comedy. And that was my first romantic comedy that I've ever done. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to do that film. And then The Dark Party, I filmed that a while ago. I'm not sure when that's coming out, but it's a tale about about these guys that throw a party where everyone is blindfolded, and it's Kadeem Hardison's directorial debut. Mm-hmm. And it's about these guys that throw this party where everyone's blindfolded because a lot of times we get sucked into what someone looks like or you know, how much money someone has or the physical aspects of someone to decide if we're compatible or not. But this takes all of that out the window, and they have this party where it's called the dark party because you're blindfolded and you meet different right. people and find true love by seeing someone for who they really truly are. So,
huh.
Yeah.
That's a concept. You know, did you ever hear of a show called Dating in the Dark?
I did. I think, you know, what's funny is that we actually filmed that before Dating in the Dark came out.
Yeah, so, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's the same premise, the exact same premise,
right.
but, you know, in a film.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, I think we all got to know Tiffany Hines a little bit better tonight, and I am pleased as all can be because I'm a big fan of yours now, I have to say. I gravitate towards the tough Rottweiler type of characters in the show.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I've loved playing her. I mean, it's a lot different. I don't know if you know, I'm still recurring on Bones right now, which is crazy because we're actually Nikita films in Toronto, but Bones is filming in Los Angeles, so I'm flying back and forth playing both these different characters. On Bones, I play Michelle, who's like this very sweet, innocent character, and then here I come back, and I do, like you said, I play the Rottweiler, hard-ass girl, so yeah, it's a lot of fun to be able to play both, you know?
Oh, well, you know what, everyone, make sure you check your local listings, but Nikita does air on Thursdays on the CW at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, but check your TV guides, and also check out Bones, which airs on Fox. Tiffany, it's been a deep pleasure, and I hope that you know that you'll always have an open invitation to come back and talk about whatever projects you're doing, especially about Nikita, and let us know what's going on. It's just been fabulous talking with you.
Of course. Thank you. It's so good to talk to you.
Well, before I let you go, can I get you to do a little promo for Stardish Radio?
Sure.
Like, hi, this is Tiffany Hines on from Nikita on Stardish Radio. Whenever you're ready to say it, I'm recording.
Okay. Hey, everybody, this is Tiffany Hines from Nikita, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Fabulous. Everyone, make sure you can follow Tiffany also at Tiffany Hines 1 on Twitter, and she is also has a fan page on Facebook. Make sure you just type in Tiffany Hines and you'll see it and like that box. And support our girl. Go follow her on Twitter. Let's get her up there. Tiffany, fabulous. And I will be seeing you in the Twitterverse.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, guys. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Everyone, make sure you come back for Thursday the 23rd. We're definitely having a big, spectacular show in celebration of The View's 3,000th episode, complete with giveaways. I have tickets to The View. I've got books. I've got mugs, all that good stuff. So make sure you come back on Thursday to win some stuff. All right, everyone, have a fabulous evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hi, guys. This is Denise Bassey, Randy from All My Children.
Hey, this is Chriselle Stouse, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.